And I appreciate that. He's merciful to us. And the Lord laid on my heart for tonight, a couple of days ago, this message. And it's almost like I want to tell you a story. Not about a man named Brady. You've heard that one. Not once upon a time, because this is real, not a fairy tale. But I want to start in Genesis and end in Revelation, and if you're nervous, I understand. It's a big Bible. But we're going to hit the highlights, hopefully. Does anyone have a word of praise you'd like to thank the Lord for anything? We don't want to miss an opportunity. Sherry shared this morning a praise for the young lady that we've been praying for, Angela, I think, or Angelica. Angelica. Brother Don. Amen. Brother Connor mentioned resentment this morning. And if the drywall guy doesn't get there Tuesday, I'm going to have a big resentment to have to work with. But pray that the Lord will help him to do what he's promised. He was supposed to be there last Thursday. And as Donnie said, we're anxious. We're very anxious. Brother Henry? Praise God. Sometimes those loose ends are the hardest part of the job, huh? But we're glad you're free from that, Henry. That's a good thing. Evan? Praise the Lord. And you know what? He'll keep healing the parts that get hurt. You can always go to the Lord. And I can remember things that I had dealt with as a child. And when the Lord healed, it amazed me. And I thought, wow. He cares about even kids, and he really does. So since we're not going to start, anyone else? I don't want to, Sister Becky?
I'd just like to thank the Lord for everybody probably knows at this point, but Josh and Cheryl are taking care of three children that have been in a foster home in Mexico for 12 years.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
But I want to praise God that he was with Cheryl. She said she could just feel the peace come over her, and the Lord took over, and she said all the right things, and the lady's very grateful to them. So
praise God. You know, the peace of God can sweep over us. I mean, just overwhelm us, and that's so wonderful. Audrey?
Amen.
Amen, Joe.
No.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else? We don't want to turn off the opportunity until you're ready. You must be ready. So I want to speak to you tonight about the plan of salvation. And I understand most of you have known the plan of salvation for a long time. But I think every now and again we need to be reminded of what's happened and what our hope is in the Lord. And that if we get the chance to share, there may be some details here that will bring a blessing to you. So rather than once upon a time or some story, I'll tell you what, there's not a TV theme song that I don't remember with kind of a lot of appreciation, you know. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for a lot of things that's entertained us, but this is the Word of God. And it says in Genesis 1 and 1, you know it, right? You don't even have to look. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the second verse talks about the earth being void and without form and darkness covering the deep. I remember someone saying that it was like the word darkness covering is like darkness brooding over, over the whole earth. And so God created the heaven and earth. Everything that's created, everything that we put our feet upon and every bit of air that we breathe, God has created that. So there's a lot of controversy, and scientists like to get up in arms and try to disprove God, but really they're not going to do it. So a kind of a big deal is a creation, God creating the earth. And remember the 6 days of creation. He created first light, separated the day from the night. I kind of wish you'd have skipped the night and sleep, but he didn't, and we need that. How many love sleep? Few people. Bless your heart. Second is the firmament, the expanse, the everything, you know, it includes our air and gravity and then outer space and beyond. God created the space. The third day, he got water organized to where it kind of shrunk to a sea. Can you imagine that? That it shrunk. We have some big seas. Someone said that on a bumper sticker I saw that said water covers 2/3 of the earth. So that means that God must want us to be fishing 2/3 of the time. For me, that'd be trouble because I'm not crazy about fishing. But if you like fishing, that's a good thing to put on your car. So he organized the water and he created the dry ground and he established herbs and fruit. I'm glad of the fruit part. Some people don't appreciate fruit, and I think that's horrible. Fruit is wonderful, and it's a blessing of God. Day four was lights in heaven. The sun to rule the day, the moon to rule the night, and the stars. And then number five, fish and birds, and number six, the cattle. And you know, it might include all of the insects. I wish God had left out the mosquito. And I know that Noah left before the unicorn was on the boat from an old song. Not the word of God, but an old song. And but there's all of these things, and in all of creation, it things work. We know to stay away from things that's going to mess with you. And you can pet some dogs, not all dogs. And God's blessed us with animals. And so there's some, Debbie, when we were in Australia, Debbie said, why did God create the wombat? A wombat's like a big, big rat. And I mean a pretty good size rat. But God created it, and Debbie can't question the wombat. It kind of looks dumb, but he also created the Tasmanian devil. And if you've ever looked at one of those in the eyes, which we have, those guys, you don't know what they're going to do next, and they're not like the wombat just running across the road slow. Those guys are crazy. So God created all of this, and Then he said, let us make man in our own image. He created man. Then he looked around and he saw the animal creation that he had made and said, look, all of them have mates, but oh, Adam, he's just there all alone. That's not good. God saw that it was not good, so he created Eve. He caused Adam to go into a deep sleep, and he took a rib and he made Eve. So that was the creation, the sixth day, and on the seventh day he ended his work and he rested. I'm glad for the rest. Amen. The next big deal, not Apple, not a phone, not anything. The next big deal was the fall. The fall was awful. And this is why we have a plan of salvation. The scripture tells us that before the foundation of the earth, Jesus was ready to go to do the redemptive act on the cross. So the fall was the apple. We say apple. It could have been something else. But we're going to stay with apple. The devil is bad. The devil came in the form of a serpent and he enticed Eve. Oh, go ahead. God's just trying to keep you ignorant. And if you eat that apple, you're going to know what God knows. Sure enough, she ate the apple. And then she called Adam over and said, Adam, this is not bad. And you should try it. And Adam figured things out, and he figured, well, if she's done it, I can do it too. And then when God asked him what happened, he said, the woman that you made for me gave it to me. Blamed her. He was the man, and he should have made the right decision. He didn't. But in doing that, in disobeying, he brought upon mankind death, toil, labor upon womankind, labor pains and childbirth, and so every one of us has a number of things that makes us miserable. We have death to look to. We have sicknesses that come upon us, and all of that is because of sin. All of that is because of the devil. So the fall wasn't at all a good thing. It put us in a bad place. The devil is not good. He's one bad apple. After the fall, and after they were removed from the Garden of Eden, does this sound like we're going to be forever getting through this? I hope not. After the fall, and they were removed from the Garden of Eden, and the trees that would give them life eternal, the first thing seemingly that happens is Cain kills his brother. Boy, we're off to a bad start. I mean, that's brand new in our history. We're just barely been created, just barely fallen from the grace of God, and now there's murder already. Then comes Noah and the flood, because God hated the sin that people had already accomplished, already got into, and he flooded the earth. And then the Tower of Babel, where people gathered together and in a massive rebellion against God. What I can tell you about that, and what I know, is that there was such a massive, a collective rebellion against God. God said, I can't put up with this. So he divided people and sent them different ways, speaking different languages. He didn't want them on the same page. And they went their ways, and God overthrew their rebellion that way. And then God called a nation. He called Israel. And he called Abraham to go from his land of Ur and to go into the promised land that he would give him. And he followed up with Isaac, his son. And he followed up with Jacob. And Jacob had 12 sons, which become the 12 tribes of Israel. And then we have Moses, the lawgiver and the deliverer out of Egypt. I understand that God delivered the people of Israel from Egypt. From Egypt's bondage. God heard their cry, and he sent Moses to come in and to be the deliverer, and Moses to give the law, because Moses was a friend of God, and God loved him very much, and Moses loved God. And even while Moses was getting the law ready to deliver to the people, they were already worshiping a cow, a golden cow. So we have the history of Israel. Judges first, and then priests as well, judges and priests, and then followed up with kings. King David stands out because he had a heart after God's own heart. There were good kings and there were bad kings. Do you feel like we're going a little faster now? It's not going to take all night. And then there were the prophets, the great prophets of God. Isaiah, with the wonderful things that we're studying right now. Jeremiah, the most disappointed man in the world. He preached and preached and preached and told the truth and told the truth. And people lied and people, the masses of the people followed the lie and not the truth. But what happened? The truth, God's word happened, and they were judged. And Nebuchadnezzar came in and destroyed Jerusalem and took the people away captive and killed many of them. So you also have Ezekiel, you have Daniel, wonderful prophecies, and Joel. The reason I threw Joel in is because he's the Holy Ghost guy. And that's the one that Peter quoted on the day of Pentecost. And then after the last prophecy of Malachi, there was silence from God for 400 years. That's a long time. Humanity was lost, and even the law did only a fair job of helping. And people found it very easy with the law to reject the law and not to make it personal. And there's a lot of people living that way today. Kind of like if you ignore it, it'll go away, but it really won't. We have in the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, the beginning of the plan of salvation. I don't know why the Lord sent Jesus as a baby, but it does make sense if someone's going to die that they must be born. And there's a lot of songs about him being born to die, born that we might live. Matter of fact, there's one, the words are kind of catchy, and that Jesus was born that we might live again, and that we might have eternal life. So this word says, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David, Bethlehem, a Savior who is Christ the Lord." A baby Savior. What can a baby Savior do? Well, he can't do much as a baby. But this baby Savior is going to grow up. We know the one story that we have from when he was 12 years old, sitting amongst very elite teachers, and his mom and dad found him missing, and they thought he was with somebody else. We don't do that with our kids today. We know it's too dangerous. We don't just leave until we've got everyone accounted for. But back in that day was a safer time. And when they realized he was missing, they went back and were chastising him. And Jesus said, "Know ye not that it must be about my Father's business?" Now here's the 12-year-old Savior. Here's someone that's beginning to take the responsibility. And he knew what his job was. His job was to die for humanity. Because there was a need of a Savior. Because man, through Adam, had given up the fellowship with God and the closeness with God and the relationship with God. And the law had done all that it could, but it couldn't do enough to keep people hot and on fire for God. And they found it too easy just to push the law aside and not be obedient. They'd get religious and find the law and get excited and cry, and then they'd get tired of it and backslide And yet God never gave up on Jerusalem or Israel, and he will not give up on them. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 22 through 24. And the scripture says, "Men of Israel, hear these words." This is a bold sermon. It says, "Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst. As you yourself also know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by lawless hands have crucified and put to death. You've taken the very Savior and look at the way you've treated Him. But yet in a sense, that's what He came for. Jesus didn't complain. He gave His life. And whom God raised up, here's the hope. Whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that He should be held by it. Jesus was the Son of God. And for Him to stay dead 3 days was probably a miracle, because He was full of the creation of everything that He made and the power of God. And yet they crucified Him, having thought, we despise Him and we'll put Him to silence. And in crucifying Him, 3 days later He resurrected, and He's created a movement that will move and continue on. And the Scripture says that in heaven there are 10,000 times 10,000 times thousands of thousands of people that have been born again that'll be praising and magnifying Jesus. And I am among that number, as are you. So our plan of salvation rested in Jesus. If He had not been perfect, His sacrifice would have been worthless. If He had not been obedient, then His sacrifice wouldn't have worked. But He was perfect. He was not a goody-two-shoes. He was obedient. And He was about the purpose that He was sent for, and that is to die for all mankind. So the first Adam brings death, but the second Adam brings life and life abundant. He is both the sacrifice that was slain on the cross, and He is the high priest that brings before God the blood that satisfied God, and God said, it's good. Jesus Himself on the cross, when He was ready to die, said, it's finished. This thing is done. Because once He died, there was no power in heaven or earth that would hold Him back from resurrection. The Word of God says the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you and I to quicken our mortal bodies. We have resurrection power within us. Now, when we accept the Lord as Savior, here's where... The next Scripture talks about Paul as he ministered the gospel in 1 Corinthians 2 and verses 1 through 5. A little bit of reading here, but please hear that to me. There's great, great promise here. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech and of wisdom declaring the testimony of God. Understand that Paul could have easily come in excellence of speech because he was trained that way. Wise, he could have been part of the Sanhedrin. He was that smart, that well-trained. And he was zealous for God. And then when Jesus got a hold of him, he turned it around and was zealous for Jesus. And said, I'm not coming with excellence of speech nor of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I am determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. There's no way that we as a church can see souls saved without we realize it's through the cross, through the crucifixion, through the blood that was shed. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in, you know, and I've tried to talk people into getting saved. I really have. I bugged them. It's my notice for church starting at 6, which you already started. I've tried to talk people into knowing the Lord and debating, but it doesn't happen that way. But Paul said, but I come in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of man. Folks, we cannot have faith in just a wisdom of man or a story or a pattern or a formula or anything but the very fact that Jesus died that we might be born again. That your faith should be not in the wisdom of men but in the power of God. The only place our faith can rest. Now, most of us know, how many know where you look if you want to find the kind of the pathway to salvation. In the book of Romans, we just studied that book a while back, chapter 10 and verses 8 through 13. All the scripture I'm reading is in the New King James. And it starts with verse 8 and it says, "But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth that the Lord confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." So that's the mechanics, you know. You confess him and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that he was the Son of God, that he was everything he said he was, that he was everything that Isaiah said he was, everything that Jeremiah or any of the other prophecies, David and all the ones, Moses and Adam and all that prophesied. What they said about Jesus was absolutely true. And if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you shall be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The plan of salvation is what we're talking about. For the scripture says, "Whoever believes on him will not be put to shame, for there is no distinction between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord is all over all to over all rich is rich to all who call upon him." For the scripture, listen to this. This scripture ought to knock half the doctrines of the devils out of the ballpark. "For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You know the doctrines I'm talking about. Brother Connor's ministered about them. And absolutely, the doctrines of the devil, of eternal security, predestination, the scripture says whoever calls on the name of the Lord Jesus will be saved. So, back to the old, how many remembers the tracts we used to get? How many knows what a tract is? Tract is a little folded thing that you open, you read. I liked the chick tracts the best because they had drawings or cartoons and things like that. I like those. Those were good. Not only were they entertaining with the pictures, but they also had a message that was right on target. And so all of those tracts that tell us, well, how do you lead someone to the Lord? Number one is you realize you're a sinner. Number two, you invite Jesus to come into your heart and life to rule. Number three, you ask forgiveness of your sins. And that's where the cross comes in. And the blood of Christ will cover our sins. Jesus takes them away like they never existed. That's amazing. You say, well, that's good in the beginning. No, that's good forever. Because any time we mess up, the Lord is able to come in and erase it again. Oh, thank the Lord for that. I'm glad he didn't say, here, you got one shot. You got as many shots as you want to. As many shots as it takes. And number four, you tell others about your experience. You testify. And it's a matter of just standing for the Lord. And you know, you don't have to testify before everybody you see, but you do need to let it be known what's happened. When people my age in your 60s were young, can you remember back when you were teenagers? How many can remember it like it was yesterday? How many can remember it like it was a couple of days ago? Yeah. We used to have altar calls in the church because you always had a lot of people that needed to make a decision. And some had been saved and gone out and got off track. And others had never been saved. And so we made an altar call, and that was to give everyone a chance to say yes to the Lord. It's kind of like in sales, closing the deal. Now, there was one preacher that did it, and everybody had their own style. But I tell you what, to me, it's not about embarrassing folks. It's not about putting pressure on someone. Debbie and I have been looking for a car. Do you know what kind of torture that is? That's awful. That's awful. But In order to buy a car, you have to at least try them out, and then you can get them however you can get them. But the idea is, I had a man tell me yesterday, I trust you. Just sign your name right here, and it'll be all okay. I said, it'll be all okay with you, but not with me. We're not ready for that. We're going to wait. We're gonna do it our way, not your way. And salvation is about when the Lord knocks on your heart and you say, oh my goodness. I was 8 years old when the Lord told me I needed to be saved. Now, we had an altar that was round, made out of a plywood top, and it had a maroon skirt around it. We used to have a thing going this way and this way, made out of, I think, pipe of some sort, and it had a maroon skirt, right? That was back when the church was red, before burnt orange come raging in 1975. And guess what? 2016, burnt orange is still comfortable. But I'm thankful for all these colors. But our little altar was a half circle made out of plywood, and it had a maroon skirt on it. And I'll never forget when Steve Nelson put his hand on that on this side over here and vaulted over. What he didn't realize is that thing wasn't structurally sound, and everything come down, and that was a tumbling experience. But we've had some good times in dealing with the logistics of church. I saw a man one time get what we used to call happy, and he picked up the altar, that round altar, and moved it over so he could have room to dance in the Spirit. That's all good with me. Anytime you get excited, let's go. But when the Lord knocked on my heart, I was 8 years old, and the Lord said, you need to go get saved. And I said, wait a minute, I've been going to church all my life. I'm not that bad. And it wasn't about being that bad, and it wasn't about anything but giving my heart to the Lord. And so I made those steps, and I went down to that half-round altar. It was on a Tuesday night, and the altar was full of people, others praying, and we had company that were visiting with us that night. And I don't know why the Lord chose them, but He did. But I'll tell you this, the Lord's still knocking on hearts today, and there's still the opportunity to say yes to Jesus. In Galatians 2, it says, it tells what it's like once you've been saved. The Scripture says, Galatians 2 and 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. We say yes to the Lord, and we become part of a group, of a number that no man can number. Amen. Our young people, Donnie and Audrey, they didn't see the days that we saw where the Lord ministered to hearts and lives, where there would be these kinds of experiences. We got to pray with folks, and we got to love them and show them our concern in our hearts. And I'm so thankful for that. But I kind of long to see it again and to see the mercy of God in people's lives. Now, I don't want to use the word closing because you get expecting that we're almost ready for Revelation, right? We are. We are. Revelations 5, I love 5, and 9 through 10, verses 9 through 10. This speaks of a time when we're with the Lord in heaven for eternity. The rapture has already taken place, and the tribulation has begun. We've been talking about this a lot in our Isaiah study, but I want to just say, we don't know when Jesus is coming. In a while, when it's time, He's going to come. He that is to come, and will not tarry. There's going to be a time. When I was watching Absent-Minded Professor in the theater, I was scared to death the Lord would come. I'd be lost, left. Think about some of the movies that people watch today, and you sure enough be lost with some of that. But Absent-Minded Professor's not that bad. It was a good show. But we had that teaching, and that's what we felt strongly. I didn't want to miss the rapture. I didn't want to be here when the tribulation was going on. But after the tribulation, after 7 years of tribulation, the battle of Armageddon, and that's going to be a terrible battle, but it's going to be a battle that the Lord is waging on this earth. And he's going to step in and save the Jewish people. The Jewish people have a hope. Even though they have rough times ahead, they have a hope that the Lord will not forsake them. And the Jesus that they rejected is going to come back to them and love them and give them an opportunity, and there will be a remnant saved. The revelation of Jesus Christ, and then we'll have the millennium. We'll have another battle called Gog and Magog. I believe after that, the Lord's going to take us away, renovate the earth, clean it with fire, and then bring us back, and we're going to have a brand new earth, brand new heaven, brand new earth, and then we're going to start eternity. And I'm so thankful that what we've when we accept Christ, my date was sometime in 1960. I was 8. I don't remember the date. I didn't write it down. I really feel bad about that, but I do remember the time. And it was wonderful that the Lord could get a hold of the heart of an 8-year-old. And I'm thankful for that. He loves us that much. He died for everybody. We have a lot of enemies that have made themselves our enemies, but Jesus died for them as well. He died for the whole world. In Revelations 5, 9 and 10, and they sang a new song. We're going to be singing this song. I met a lady today that's a voice therapist, and she said, you need not to talk so much. You need to do certain things to get your voice back. I said, yeah, I want to get back to screaming. And she said, but that's what you shouldn't do. That's your problem. So, okay, no screaming. I promise. And they sang a new song with a clear voice, saying, I threw in the clear voice, you are worthy to take the scroll. This is talking about Jesus taking the scroll that is the possession, what would you say, the deed to the souls of humanity. And to open its seals. When he opens its seals, trouble happens on the earth. For you were slain, the cross. He was on the cross. And have redeemed us to God by your blood. No one's saved without that blood. Forget it. If you want to be a part of eternity, you have to accept the blood. Somebody said, Christianity's a bloody religion. Amen. And there's no other way to get around it. No excuses. You can join every church in town, but until the blood of Christ has covered you, you're not born again. You've not established that relationship. You say, well, I've been going to church. That's what I told the Lord when I was 8, and he didn't buy it. He said, you must be born again. So I went down and prayed and gave my heart to the Lord. But it said, and have redeemed us to our God by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. No one is exempt. There's going to be people that are going to surprise you that make heaven because they've accepted Christ as their Savior. We aren't the ones that choose who gets saved. Now, I'm not saying election or anything like that. What I'm saying is whoever surrenders to the Lord, they're going to be saved. And have made us kings and priests to our God. I kind of like that. I like the fact that someday we're going to rule and reign, but that's not the big thing. That's really not the big thing. The big thing is that we're going to be with our God, and it's going to be forever. And we shall reign on the earth again. That's a kind of a bonus, but to be with the Lord. And I believe with all of my heart he's coming soon. I do. I think Jesus is coming soon. Back in the 60s, we thought it would be any moment. That's why that 2-hour movie, I was scared to death about being lost. Being left. My family go on, and here I am stuck here facing the tribulation. I don't want that. And I know none of you want that. But I want us to pray tonight. What I'd like us to pray for is people that need Jesus. I feel some ways that we're selfish, that we're some way not getting enough out or something like that. But let's pray that the Lord will send folks that we can love and share our Lord and Savior with. Because, you know, it's this group is kind of amazing. When you join, When you accept the Lord as your Savior, it's not like you're brand new and you have to learn the ropes. I mean, there's learning things that you have to do, but if the Lord comes the next second, you're good. Eternity. It's wonderful. Debbie, you want to come and play some music, and we're going to pray. And we're just going to ask the Lord to touch our spirits tonight and that He'll draw us. The thing I was going to say about a while ago was I know there's been people that have had everybody stand and saying, you know, if you're born again, sit down, and that leaves people standing that aren't. I'm not into that at all. What I'm into is let the Lord speak to your heart. He loves us all, and He's reaching out with such a wide open heart and arms. Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful that we know You. It's such a great experience. Lord, it's something that we have in common, and when we talk about born again, we know. The world talks about being born again and makes fun of it, but wow, what they're making fun of is eternity. And what they're doing is pushing away Your grace and Your mercy. And I pray, Lord, that You'll touch every heart here tonight. And Lord, that You'll minister. If there's any one of us that need to say yes to You, let it be now. Let us not wait. I pray, Lord, that our hearts would be surrendered to You. Every one of us, O Lord. Every one of us, O Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, Ramakiri Andaliri. You love us so much. You're so powerful and so all wise. And you, Lord, you see what's ahead for us. And You see the blessings that You have for us. And I pray that we be faithful step by step unto You. Help us not to look to one side or the other, but to stay on course in loving You. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you're here tonight and you want to say yes to the Lord, all you have to do, you don't have to go through any exercise of standing, sitting, kneeling. All you have to do is say, yes, Lord. I accept You as my Savior and I love You with all of my heart. Forgive me of my sin and bring me to a close place with You. I want to be a part of that number that says, Lord, You've redeemed us by Your blood unto our God, and You've made us kings and priests, and we're going to rule and reign on the earth. We want to be a part of that group. Lord, I pray that You'll challenge every one of our hearts tonight. Lord, let us be sure tonight that we know You as Savior. Lord, that we've made that right choice, and that we follow You, Lord, in every day of our life, that our heart's not divided. We don't serve You and someone else. We serve You alone. We've given ourselves 100%. And we love You. And I pray, Lord, that you'll just usher in Your Spirit, Your presence, and Your blessing into every life. Give us opportunities to see many people come to experience what we know and what we've experienced. I pray, Lord, that You'll bring blessing on Calvary Temple, upon each and every member, that You'll bring healing to our church, that You'll bring strength, Lord God, in such a wonderful way. Strength and blessing, Lord. Is there anyone here you'd like prayer for anything? I mean, anything. If you've stumped your toe, if anything. Sister Watson would like prayer. Anyone else? I'm going to tell you what, you don't even have to come down here. We're going to go to you. Thank you. Church isn't so big that we can't come to you if you need anything. Amen? Anyone else like prayer? Then let's pray. Lord, we're thankful for each one. We're thankful for this day and what you've done in these services. We pray, Lord, that you'll minister healing to little Brock, that you'll bring a miracle to he and his family. Mercy, Lord, that's what we ask for, mercy. Lord, we pray that you'll minister your healing help and for everyone that's been touched and everyone that's been blessed, and that your spirit, Lord, will continue. I pray that there'll be a falling of your Holy Spirit in every life, that we will be baptized over and over and over and over, new every day. Lord, let us be filled to overflowing. Grace and mercy and the baptism of the Spirit, your healing grace and power. We honor you, Jesus. Bless your people everywhere they look. Let them see blessing and mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week in the Lord. Love you, little man. Love you, precious.